want us to sing that song just for another moment. This is the song that the children of Israel sang, and God defeated their enemies in the singing of these words, "For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever." There's something that detonates when we proclaim his goodness. See, we talk all the time about the problems. We talk all the time about our opinions and our thoughts and concerns. But when we finally release the truth into the atmosphere, the Lord is good and his mercy endures, it lights a fuse that totally clears the room of darkness. So I want us to sing, and if you're struggling with any kind of mental oppression, depression, discouragement, sadness, anger, unforgiveness, toxic emotions, stuff going on in the inside, God wants to clear that in the recitation of this truth, "For he is good and his mercy endures forever." And as you sing this, I want you to see what is unseen. I want you to see the invisible, that your enemy is being scattered by the praise that is coming up. Come on, let's sing it together. Oh Lord, you are good.
You are good. You're good.
A breakthrough for your people. That as we have stood, Lord, on this first day of the week, the Lord's Day, to proclaim your goodness, as priests of the Lord, we have offered up our sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now let the glory of the Lord fall upon your people, and let the enemies be scattered, Lord. Lord, we thank you for breakthrough after breakthrough, and that this week will not be a repeat of last week. This week we will go to a totally new level because we have declared your goodness. Father, we thank you, Lord. Yes. And don't be surprised that you've been in a battle, because there's no breakthrough without a battle. So the battle is there. But the breakthrough comes in the midst of the battle, as the Lord God of hosts makes a way where there is no way. Father, we thank you for breakthrough after breakthrough, and we praise you that you're never gonna let us down. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, as we go into your word, we can compare your word to no opinion, to no persuasion. There's no truth. There's no whisper. There's no lie that can stand up to your word. Lord, let your word settle our hearts and give light for our path. Lord, we praise you for direction today. Holy Spirit, illuminate and release revelation in this room, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. Praise the Lord. Grab your teaching outline. As you're grabbing that, because I want you to have all the verses, and I'm going to try to do better than I did. I made a mess of the first service. I really didn't do very good. So you chose wisely in coming to the second service. I got off the track. I talked about things that weren't written down. I need to be careful so I can finish my outline. But just in case I don't, it's all here for you. And you guys can talk it through in your life groups and really pray over these verses and take it into your personal study. Talk with your family. Talk to your children. Did you hear what Pastor David said? Did you hear what was preached this Sunday? Let this conversation live big in your life this week, because God wants to put something in you that's incorruptible and cannot be destroyed. Before I get into the message, I want to share a couple of quick things that are on my mind about our community and our church and where we are right now and where we're going. Number one, if you are married, you need a breakthrough. You don't need a seminar. You don't need to read an article. That may be fine. You can watch a video on YouTube or read a book, or all those things are nice. But in truth, marriage is a very spiritual thing. And you need a breakthrough. You need a moment where something falls into place that wasn't there before. And God helps you and your marriage changes. That's the reason that we're having a marriage event a week from this Friday. And my friends, Pastor Javier and Melinda Ramos of the great Shiloh Church in Oakland, California, a great, great apostolic fountainhead church, apostolic prophetic church, strong. It would not surprise me that there would be prophetic ministry and altar time and real breakthrough here. So we're not, we know that marriage teaching is available. We know, we get it. You can get that. What you can't get is that sense of breakthrough and the moment, the holy moment that God comes and just sets you free. So make your plans, mark your calendar. This is a marriage seminar for people who don't think they need a marriage seminar. This is a marriage gathering. This is a marriage event for people who don't go to marriage events. This is going to be a moment in God. Everybody say a moment in God. Pastor Javier and Melinda have got the goods. They're going to be here. They're going to go right down the alley of marriage, and it's going to be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. And, well, we're just having overflowing blessings here today. That's great. All right. So be here. There is child care for this event. There's no charge for this event. There is a fee for the child care. So here's what I suggest. Register. Get online in the lobby. Register and let them know, yes, we need the child care. And make your plans. Go out to dinner and be here by 7 o'clock. Make it a date. Husbands, hint, hint. Make it a date. Set this up and say, honey, tonight we're going to a great seminar and I'm going to learn how to be a better man and better husband. She will say yes. Okay, it's going to be great. The other thing I want to mention is that we're hiring. We're interested in finding a spirit-filled person who has a background in communications, marketing, social media. We're looking for just the right person. We're not in a rush, but we are on the hunt for someone who can really take charge of everything that's happening in all the cities with our movement, our 10 cities movement, and here in San Jose to make Jesus famous in Silicon Valley and five other cities as we pursue our relationships in Las Vegas. We really see the power, the opportunity, some of the tools that have been given. And we just want the right person to step forward. So if you have that in your skill set and you would like to work for Gateway City Church, please see Pastor Chris Cobb. We are hiring this year for the right person. Let us know. We'd like to have a conversation with you. All right, let's get into the Word of God. We've been in a pretty unique series of messages. Didn't Pastor Jordan do a great job last week? All our speakers, you know, they do a great job. We've been talking about the wild, and this has made some people nervous. Pastor, I don't know if we should call this the wild. That's the point. We're trying to shake it up. We're trying to get your attention. We're not talking about sinful wild. We're not talking about carnal wild. We're talking about living in a different space than we've been living. We know that Jesus is the Lamb of God, but we have forgotten that he's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And there is a part of God that is not docile, tame, and predictable. He's the creator of heaven and earth. And so in following Jesus Christ as his disciples, we're interested in becoming like him. That means we're not always going to be predictable. That means we're not always going to be bottled and corked and put on a shelf. Sometimes we need to flip a table in Jesus' name. Sometimes we need to show a little emotion, a little passion, a little wild. I don't mean wild morally. I mean wild like God is wild. So we're learning that God is wild, and especially that he's wild about you. When he thinks about you, stuff happens in his heart. And this is a side of God that I believe is worth talking about. And today I'd like to share a message with you about wild blessings. I'm going to speak a little bit from my own experience. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what's happening to me, my family, some prayers that are being answered, and a season that I'm in. Kathy and I are in a really unusual season. Kathy just turned 60 years old. I've just begun my 40th year in full-time ministry, the two of us together. Been full-time for the Lord for 39 years. Thank you. I don't say that. Thank you for your applause. I do appreciate that. I'm saying what I'm trying to do is create an awareness of some things that we've crossed over into. Some things that we've crossed over into. Even a relocation of a new home, rainbows that God has been giving us. I mean, dozens and dozens of rainbows. Just like weird, strange experiences, blessings, answered prayers, surprise, what I would call a season of wild blessings. That's what we're in. And we're going, what is happening? What is going on? Now, please, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Because I've been through the wild terrors in my life as well. We've known the tumor diagnoses. We've faced the division. We have endured the false accusation. We've been through the exhaustion, the discouragement. In all these 40 years, I can promise you, it wasn't all rainbows and butterflies and glitter in our coffee, okay? It was some hard times that we've been through. I've come through enough things, through enough challenges, hopefully to make me strong, hopefully to deepen my commitment to Christ, but at the same time, to come to the realization that God is a God of wild blessings. And when I say wild, I mean things we don't deserve, things that don't make sense, things that don't add up. You do the math and you say, well, I think this is probably what could happen. And then something bigger happens and you say, I don't even know how that happened. I don't even know. It doesn't even make sense. And so I want to talk to you from my heart, not just about the hard times and the things that we sometimes bring on ourselves, but the heart of God. I want to frame God for you in a way that you understand that he's a God of blessings that make no sense. Blessings that we could not earn, could not possibly be reasonable. In no universe does it make sense, except that God is good and he likes to bless his children. I'm going to tell you a story and draw some principles out to help you to understand this wild side of God. Because if you're like me, when good things happen, you might say, I don't know why this is happening. When bad things happen, sometimes we say that, don't we? Why is this happening? But the side of God that maybe you haven't seen yet, the mysterious, more difficult to accept side of God, is that he does stuff that we just don't deserve. He blesses us in ways that we can never earn. And there's a great story that I'm going to come to in just a few minutes, but here's maybe a capstone for what I'm going to say, is that God's love for us and his desire to bless us is simply wild. There's nothing predictable or reasonable about God's blessings in our lives. It's wild. His blessings are unlike anything else in the world. They are unbelievable, unimaginable. The Bible says that no eye has seen, nor has an ear ever heard. Neither has it entered or occurred to the human heart. All the things that God has prepared for those who love him. I tell you, it's easy to love a God who has unlimited ways of blessing us. And if you're going through a hard time tonight, these words might sting a little bit. You might think, but what about me? I want to get past that pain if I can. I want to get past the yeah, but, to a place where you are actually opening up a new place in your heart to receive supernatural blessings. Jaime, I'm sorry. I'll be back to you in just a minute. Jaime, the Lord whispered something to me this week. Now, Jaime is a tremendous painter. He did some work at my house. And this is what the Lord said. You make things new. But he said, wait until you see how I make things new. As you enter into a season that looks totally different than any season you've ever had, in business, in marriage, in finances, God is making everything new. And it's going to look really different. You're not going to be that one that makes beauty and new things for other people. And you're saying, well, what about me? God says, this is your season. This is your time. You're entering into it. Don't say, what did I do to deserve it? Just say, God, you are so good. And watch what God will do as he multiplies, not just in business, but in ministry, because there's a call and there's a thing on the inside of you for men and for other people. There's a thing on the inside of you for young people. You've been through some battles and you've been through some trials, and you're gonna tell that story at different times. God's gonna give you an amplification of your voice and of your story, because it's a victory story. And I just hear the Lord saying, wait till you see the new that I give to you. It's gonna be real good. Jaim, receive it, believe it. Okay, that wasn't planned, but when I saw him sitting here, I thought I gotta give him that word. Okay, I'm back. His blessings are unimaginable. His desire to bless you is unchangeable. James chapter 1 talks about how God doesn't change his mind. He's not in one mood one day and a different mood the other day. He's consistent. What I'm going to share with you about his goodness, it does not change. He's the giver of good gifts. And his blessings in our lives are unlimited. It was King David who said, I have everything I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Would you say this with me just humor me. Just say, I have everything I need. Yeah, I want you to live in that, because here's the truth. Your Father is wealthy and he is very keen to take care of your needs. So that means even if it isn't in your pocket, you've got a banker, you've got a king, you've got a source, you got a broker, you know some people, you're connected. So in that way, because everything he has is available to you, you do have everything you need. So go big. Chandler, go big. Go big. Because this is the same as this, as far as God is concerned. You know, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. And it's undeserved. His blessings are undeserved. Psalm 103 says, God has not treated us as we deserve. Aren't you glad? When I talk like this, usually people that are encouragers and strong in faith and strong in, you know, authority of the believer and righteousness, they'll usually try to talk me out of this statement, but don't try to talk. Save your breath. I don't deserve the blessings of God. Now, I've studied theology for a long, long time. I got it. They are mine, but not because I deserve them. I still remember what I was and what I am. And God's blessings and his goodness in my life are incongruous with what I am and who I am. It doesn't make sense. It's wild, and I don't deserve it. Somebody said to me the other day, we were fixing up our new house, and I said, I can't believe I live here. It's a nice house. It's better than we thought. And they said, Pastor, you deserve this. You've been doing this. You've been faithful. And they were very complimentary and very kind for all my years in the ministry. And I said, listen, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. But here's the thing. The blessings of God are not about how good we are. They're about how good God is. When something good happens to you, don't say, well, it's because of my faithfulness. Say, it's because of his faithfulness, right? And I wish I could say that everybody gets excited when you get a blessing. Unfortunately, that isn't always true. But still accept and still receive God's blessings, because he's good. And as we're going to learn today in this story that we're going to check out, a story that Jesus wrote, there are some people that get jumpy when nice things happen to undeserving people. In fact, Can we go to the story? Let's go to the story of the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Here's rich truth. Here's Jesus presenting a wild son and an even wilder father. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you died." So his father agreed to divide. Everyone say divide. To divide his wealth between his sons. Every time we insist on our way, it creates division. Every time we insist on having things as we want them, it breaks a relationship, it breaks a marriage, it breaks something that was originally undivided. Be very careful when you demand what's coming to you, because you might just get it. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all of his money in, say it with me, wild living. Yeah. About the time that his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. And he persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and this man sent him into the field to feed, this nice Jewish boy, to feed pigs. And the young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. You see the road of wild living, distance from God, having it your way. Do you see where it ends? He's got nothing. He had everything. And now he's got nothing. It's called prodigal. Prodigal means wasted. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself at home, "Even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am, dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have enough to spare. And I have sinned, rather.'" Wow, that's a word. Everyone say sinned. That's right, I said it. Sin breaks relationship with God. Sin is a problem. "I have sinned," he said, "against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. What I had by relationship, I now want to earn by sweat and effort." Interesting choice. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with anger, judgment, and a desire for vengeance. Is that what it says? Filled with what? Love and compassion. He ran to his son and embraced him and kissed him. And his son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being your son." But his father said to the servants, "Quick, three things. Bring the robe, get a ring, and find some sandals. And kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, now he's found." And so the party began. That's right, I said party. Our Father knows how to throw a celebration. He can party down. Yes, he can. Meanwhile, now, if the story had stopped right there, it'd be beautiful. I mean, that's a complete story. What a beautiful story. An undeserving son, full of shame, makes a mess out of his life, comes back thinking that he deserves nothing, and he gets everything. End of story. Beautiful. But Jesus is a master And he knows how we are, me and you. He knows that there's an elephant in the room. And the elephant is, that guy does not deserve to be blessed or forgiven. So he creates the older brother character. The good guy who did it right. And he continues. Keep your eyes down and don't look around, because this might apply to you. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of the servants, what's going on? Your brother is back, he is told. And your father has killed the fatted calf, the one that was being fattened for your wedding. And we're celebrating because of his safe return. And the older brother was thrilled that his baby brother was back home safely. Is that what it says? This is going to get you. Because it got me. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him. But he replied, all these years I've slaved for you, and you never once refused to do, I never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And in all that time, you never even gave me one, not even a goat, for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours, not my brother, and all the parents understand this one, right? Because when the kid is bad, I say to my wife, look what your son just did. Not my son. Look what your son just did. This son of yours comes back after squandering your money, on prostitutes? You celebrate by killing the fattened calf? His father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me. And I love this line, and everything I have is yours. When you're in relationship with the Father, everything he has is yours. How can you possibly lose? How can you keep score of what somebody else got? Everything the Father has is yours. He says, everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and now he's found. That second boxcar on that train, it was a beautiful story until the older brother thing got in. And Jesus just took it to a new level in our hearts and just showed us how we struggle when some people get blessed. And here's why we struggle. We struggle because it's wild to bless someone who messes up. It's not reasonable. It's not, it doesn't make sense. It's a showstopper. It's a jaw dropper. It's a what the? He should be on probation. He should be benched. He should be shucked. He should be a slave. He should sleep with the horses in the stable. He shouldn't get a nice bed. He shouldn't get a robe and a ring and sandals. He's blown it too much. Look, Dad, you don't know him. I know him. He messed up. And what about me? I've done everything right. I did it all. And you never bless me. What is Jesus doing? He's talking about the wild, unreasonable, crazy with a capital K, blessings of God. The undeserved blessings of God. If you've ever messed up, please understand this about God. Jesus wants you to understand it's not about your behavior. It's about his blessings. He loves you. He's a wild God, and he's wild about you. And even your own recitation of your sins and failures and your own assessment of yourself, I'm not worthy. You should allow me to work my way back. I want to work for it, God. I'll read my Bible. I'll do it right this time, God. And then at the end of 6 months, then I'll be worthy. You will never be worthy. You cannot earn this. This is a gift freely given, irregardless of your behavior or your conduct. So understand and get comfortable with the wild love of God. And when good things happen to you, don't say, what did I do to deserve this? You didn't deserve it. He just likes to do stuff like that. Let's drill down into this story just real quick. Let me see if I can give you three dimensions of God's wild blessings. Number one, the robe of righteousness. The father says to the servants, here's my son, put a robe on him. Now robes, it's not like a bathrobe. A robe is something different in this culture. A robe is a status sign. It's a sign of wealth. Jesus had a very nice robe, by the way. They gambled for it. Those Roman soldiers wanted the beauty of that robe that he was wearing. This was a sign of wealth. It was a sign of sonship. It was a sign, I am somebody. And so here comes, I don't know, what was he wearing? Was he filthy? I don't think he was clean. Did he have good clothes? I doubt it. And the first thing the father wants to do is cover him. You know, God wants to cover your nakedness. He wants to cover what makes you ashamed. If you're cold, he wants to warm you up. He wants to clothe you. Isaiah said, I'll rejoice in the Lord who puts a robe of righteousness on me. So the first wild blessing is that God clothes us with salvation. That he clothes us with the righteousness of Christ. When we are so filthy and so dirty, I still remember the shame. I still remember the loneliness, the isolation from God, the being disgusted with myself and being disgusted with the people I was hanging out with, being disgusted with what I did and what I said and who I was. And I still remember. In our church, we used to sing a song, He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in him and worship him. Man, I tell you, that got me every time, because it meant that I wasn't responsible for my own righteousness. I stand complete in him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in him and worship him. Today, if you're struggling with shame, I want you to know you're forgiven and you're accepted and you have right standing with God. If you turned, made the decision to turn away from that life and come home, ashamed and broken though you are, he puts the robe of righteousness on you. Then there's the ring of authority. I could talk about the ring and the symbolism of the ring. Let me just break this down quickly for you in just a moment's time. When Kathy and I got married 37 years ago, yes, I got it right, awesome. If I stop and think, it's just the years are passing so fast. It's not that I don't care, I just lose track. We exchanged rings, and we talked about the rings before the ceremony. I said, what do the rings mean to you, honey? To me, it means that everything I have is yours, and everything that's yours is mine. And she said, well, yes, it means that everything that's mine is mine, everything that's yours is mine, and everything that is ours is mine. That's the way she understood it. The point being, when you get married, you come into a covenant, and here's what it means. It means everything is given and shared, right? It's marriage. Rings also in the Bible were a signature. They were a way of stamping. It was like your social security number, your password. It was a way to identify someone positively, and it meant authority. If someone's ring was stamped in the wax on a document, it means that was a true identification, and all the power of that name and all the authority of that name was there. So when the father gave a ring to his son, he was saying two things. Everything I have is yours. And he was also saying, you use my name. You ask in my name, you call upon my name, you act in my name, and it's going to be done. He's giving the Son undeserved, wild authority. Now, here, we would say that person's on the bench. He's done. He got no authority. He has no power. He has nothing. He's lucky to be in our meeting. But we'll let him back in. But he's on probation. And he's nothing. He's no one. Don't even speak. Don't even smile. But you get to be in the room. Jesus says, no, put the ring on him. And if you're wondering, well, I messed up this week, so I couldn't possibly pray. No, you still have the ring. And everything God has is still yours. That is wild. It's offensive, isn't it? It's like, it's not even right, is it? Can that be God? That's God. And here's the last one. The sandals of sonship. I think about all the vexing problems in the world, and nothing is more heartbreaking and heartrending than poverty. Poverty goes right to the core of a person. It breaks you psychologically, emotionally. Lack is degrading. It's humiliating. Especially to think that you would not even have sandals for your feet. In the day in which Jesus told this story, the poor people, as today, would be shoeless people. People that can't get traction. They can't walk. They can't move forward. The whole ability of a person even to appear acceptable, clean. The filth of the street clinging to their... You know, we look at the homeless today, and the problem is increasing. I'm so grateful for our homeless ministry that's helping and doing something for the least of these. What does the Father say? This is my Son. His feet cannot be bare. Give him something to stand on. Give him something that helps him move forward. Give him something that gives him traction and dignity and heals him. And if you're a shoeless person and somebody gives you shoes, it's just, there's an old saying, you can tell a lot about a person by their shoes. I don't know if that's true or not. But I can tell you, when you don't have shoes and God gives you shoes, it's a healing. And I want to say that God will take care of every need you have in your life, because he doesn't want that broken, destroyed, stripped thing going on. But if you're the kind of a person that says, I don't deserve it, and good things never happen, and I never get what's coming to me, if you relate more to the older brother, it'll surprise and perhaps even offend you that God wants to still care for you and provide for you. Make a place in your heart today that it isn't about your failures or your sins and your problems and what you deserve and what you don't deserve. Forget all that. Just receive the goodness of God. This makes him happy to bless us and to provide for us. Receive it. And don't say, what did he do to deserve that? What does it matter? Nobody deserves the blessings of God. We only have them because he is good, as we sang. Can I have an amen in the house of God today? Jesus is framing. He's framing the Father in a new way. His audience understood, you do this and God does this. You obey and God does this. And Jesus is saying, this is true on a level, but here's a side of God that you've never seen. Here's the wild side. Even when you blow it, he's good. This is his nature. So come home. Get your shoes and your robe and your ring. And don't ask for a chance to earn it back. You can't. Just say, I'm a child of God. Amen. Closing story. I hope you had a good 4th of July. Mine was special. Because exactly 2 years ago, on the 4th of July, as my family gathered at my brother's house, we have a big barbecue. He's got a pool, and he's the older brother that gets everything. I get nothing. So we go to his house. So I have another brother. His name is Mark, and he's been He's been prodigal for a long time. We lose track of him for 4 or 5 months at a time. Sleeps with the dumpsters. Takes crystal meth. And has problems. And it's a heartbreak for our family. 2 years ago, I left the family gathering on 4th of July to go find my brother, and I found him. And he was setting up his drugs. He was a mess. He was filthy. He barely recognized me. I had things to give him. He refused to take them. I asked him if I could pray with him, and he agreed. And our whole family's been praying. Well, what made the 4th of July, that was 2 years ago, what made the 4th of July special this year in the Canastracy home is that Mark Canastracy was at the family reunion. And Mark Canastracy graduated from a truck driving school, and he's got a job. He's got a paycheck. He's confessing Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he is drug-free, and they test him, so we know. They're testing him. So our prodigal has come home. Now, what about you? What about you? How's it working for you to do it all on your own versus living in the Father's house? I want to encourage you, don't try to make it on your own. Don't try to go your own way. Don't say, I got to get what's coming to me. Believe me, you don't want what's coming to you. You want the wild blessings, the undeserved blessings, the insane blessings of God. Amen. Bow your heads. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you for your word. This time together is so important, and I'm asking you to shape our hearts and shape our faith and shape our perception of you. Help us to see not the angry, vengeful, petulant God that some cultures have painted him to be. Help us to see the loving Father that looks for the return of his Son. And I pray that every one of us that have failed, Lord, would experience that grace and that love, and we'd be freed from the desire to earn it, and that we could just receive it. Holy Spirit, make that real for every person watching, listening, or here. In Jesus' name, would you just remain in a prayerful moment with heads bowed and eyes closed? I want to reach out through video and right here in our live service. I want to reach out to anyone here that you know you're a long way off. You know you're a long distance. You've gone to a far, far land, and you're so far from God. And you just want to make a decision to turn around. I just want to encourage you, turn around. Repent. Change your way of thinking. Go in a new direction. Head back home. The Father's love is waiting for you. If you're here and you're away from God and you need him, I believe today could be the beginning of newness in your life. Would you lift your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. That's me. I need him. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. I'm away from God. I see you. God bless you. Wherever you are, just lift it up so I can see you. Hi, sweetheart. I see your hand. Yeah. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. We don't have to look around. God's doing a work. Thank you. Yeah. See, I remember when I gave my life to Christ, what it meant to me, and it's going to mean so much to you. Okay, you can put your hands down. If you're watching by video or in the cafe, God sees your hand. He knows the condition of your heart. You're just simply saying, yes, Lord, I need you. I need my Father back. Lord, I pray for these that have made a decision today to turn around. I can only ask that you would fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would break the poverty and the shame and the sin and the wasted prodigal life. Break it, free them, turn them, and Lord, let that robe and that ring and those sandals land in their life so strong. Make them secure in your love and secure in the promise of eternity. Do that for them today, I pray. In Jesus' name. Everybody look up at me. There's a prayer we're going to say on the screen. Whether you raised your hand or not, this is a real good prayer. So join me in it. Can we say this aloud together? Heavenly Father, thank you for welcoming me home with open arms and calling me your child. Come on, let's pray. Your love for me is so overwhelming. I'm so grateful that you have clothed me with salvation and your hands are full of wild blessings. I gladly receive all that you have for me. In Christ's name, amen. Do you remember what it was like to know your sins were forgiven? How many remember that? About 8 people have just had that experience. What do you have to say to them? That is awesome. If you're one of those that raised your hand, or if you didn't raise your hand but you'd like to start a new life with Christ, I have a gift. It's a book called How to Find God. It's a copy of the New Testament. It's available for you at the Welcome Center. Stop by the Welcome Center and check out all the opportunities and things that are, we really want to connect you. In a minute, my friends on the prayer team are going to be here. If you want to check in with someone, talk to someone, just any way we can help to make your journey better, that's what we're interested in doing. Thank you for your giving. The ushers are going to serve you, and we're going to go out worshiping the Lord, saying, He is good. Hallelujah. Let us
Amen.
Do it.
Thank you, Pastor David. Let's band together, sing it one more time. This is a really great anthem. Just start our week and have this truth be cemented in our heart and our mind. Ready? Yeah, let's do it.
Regardless of your behavior, righteous or unrighteous, I speak grace over all your failures. I speak grace over your success. And may you go with the awareness that God washes away sin. And with your head held high, may you walk in His wild blessings from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Awesome day. Love you all. Turn and fist bump somebody. Say hi to somebody. And if I haven't met you, I'd love to shake your hand. God bless you.